All right. Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is great to be here and to be able to share with you this word. Let's just start by going to God in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you for your revelation, God, that is just continuous and pours out on us, God. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to do that for us today, that you would continue to reveal your goodness, your mercy, and your grace to us. Reveal your truth in a deeper way, God, and allow us to see it illuminated and lit up in a different way than we ever have today, God. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, God. Let us feel the presence of your love here with us, God. It's always with us, but allow us to be able to perceive it, God. We just ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. So today I want to talk to you about serving God with a clear conscience. And this phrase has been on my heart for some time now, and So I was in the shower last week, and I was listening to the scriptures. I listened to the audio Bible or either praise and worship music while I'm in there. And by the way, who sings a whole lot better in the shower? Anybody really, really good at singing in the shower? Until you turn the water off. Allie, if she was in here, she'd probably be rolling her eyes. She's like, I'm on the other side of the wall. I can hear it. It doesn't sound any better. It sounds better to me, though. But praise God. No, So I listen to the audio Bible a lot. And I was just meditating on the scriptures. I was meditating on this phrase, to serve God with a clear conscience. And as I've been reading the Bible, it's just been standing out to me. I hear that. Randy, I'm not sure if y'all can hit. Okay. All right. Let's see. Yeah, it might have been scratching my face. Okay. Yeah. Let's see if I can. Yeah. Hopefully that's better right there. I hope it'll stay there. I move around a lot, but try to get it back corrected. Y'all bear with me for just a minute here. All right. So anyways, this phrase has been on my mind a lot lately and on my heart, to serve God with a clear conscience. Let me try it down here. Is that better?
Yep.
Not picking up all the other stuff? Good. All right. So to serve God with a clear conscience. And Pastor John called me this week and asked if I could fill in. And I was like, man, I would love to, and I want to talk about this, but I haven't really took the time to actually, like, turn it into a study yet or anything, you know, write down a bunch of scriptures and all that. So I was like, man, God, what am I going to do? So I just started trusting the Lord, and I'm riding home on my way home, and I just start hearing these scriptures. I'm like, I know it's been on my heart, but I can't even think of where the scriptures are, you know? And I just start hearing them, boom, 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 and this one was tying in with that one, and I was just like, man, thank you, God. I just love how the Holy Spirit works and he pours into us like that. It made me think about what Jesus said when he was talking to the disciples. He said, and don't worry about what you will say in that day when they deliver you up. For it is not you who speaks, but it is I who speaks through you. Praise God. Anyways, two other scriptures was really stood out to me while I was listening to the audio Bible, and it was Matthew 6:33 and Matthew 6:25. And these have been among my favorite verses for quite a while now, but they suddenly took on a deeper meaning to me. And I believe God was saying, stop worrying about work, son. I work a lot. I mean, a lot. So God was saying, stop worrying about work, son, and focus on me and things that are right according to my word. And so now, as you can imagine, I have to think about work. I must plan ahead. You know, Pastor Terry pointed out, I must organize things. This is just part of my job. I always got to have this person ready to do this job. Once this job is complete, I have to make sure that this person is in line to do their job, and this material is going to be here for. It never stops. I mean, it really doesn't. When I go home, I'll be working on stuff like that this evening. You know, I worked yesterday. It never stops, but I have to do that to keep everything rolling, right? And so at times, that can be overwhelming. you know, my mind is always thinking about work and I can't shut it off. I lay down at night and I'm just thinking about what's got to be done the next day, you know. There's just always a lot to plan for. And so, anyways, so I have to think about tomorrow. But there's a difference between thinking about and planning versus worrying about, you know, worrying about tomorrow. And, you know, there's things that I can't control that's outside of me, you know, other people, if they're going to be there on time, or whether these materials are going to be delayed, if they're going to be on time or whatever. Is it going to rain and we wasn't expecting rain? There's so much stuff that's out of my control, so there's no need to worry about it. God says, don't worry. And don't worry about clothes or food. God will provide these things that you need to survive. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble for itself. So tomorrow will come, and then you can figure out how to take care of the trouble for that day. There is always something unexpected going to happen. But if you worry yourself with all the what ifs, then you will be robbed of the joy of today for worrying about tomorrow. And here's another biggie not to worry about: money. Don't worry about money. I know that's big. That's big for a lot of people. How am I not supposed to worry about money? I got bills to pay, you know. Let's read Matthew 6, 19 through 24, if you want to follow along in your Bible. This would be red letters, the good stuff. It says, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. So now check this out. He starts off by talking about treasure, right? And don't lay up treasures for yourself on earth where it can be destroyed or stolen, but store up treasures in heaven where it will last forever. And notice in verse 21, it says, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It says will be, not that your heart is already there, but that it will begin to gravitate toward what you are beholding. See, the next verse starts talking about the eyes as the lamp of the body. So I hope everybody's starting to like get a picture here. It says, whatever you are focused on, whatever you have in your vision, whatever your treasure is, and that's what your heart is going to follow. So whatever you're looking after, whatever you look upon all the time, this is what you are treasuring, and what you treasure is where your heart will follow. Your heart is going to go at whatever you are beholding and whatever you are treasuring. See, it says, if the eye is clear, and this clear, if you look at it in the Greek, it means morally clear, then your whole body will be full of light. And this light is transparent or bright character. So transparent character, when I read that, I think about honesty, integrity, upfrontness, uprightness, transparent. Remember in Psalms, it says, I believe it's 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the eyes are what light the path for our feet to follow. See what I'm saying? So your eyes are the lamp, Whatever you're looking at, that's the light that's coming in. So if you're looking at things that are good, things that are pure, things that are right, then your feet are going to follow what is good, what is pure, what is right. But if your eyes are focused on evil, if your eyes are focused on darkness, so you're allowing that darkness and that evil to come in, that unrighteousness, then your feet is going to follow the path of unrighteousness. Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of, to me, means the same thing, because I can watch a Lifetime movie. I don't watch TV that often. But I noticed that when I watched it, how bad I felt afterwards, that movie. Mm. So pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It says the fellowship, you're with Christians, so what you're bringing in is good.
Yeah, speaking about that, and you're talking about your conscience, which is what this study is about, and the Bible says, what fellowship has light with darkness? What fellowship has God with Belial? What fellowship have we with demons? And the answer is nothing. We have no fellowship with them. But if you do choose to look upon that or focus on that, and you know this is worldly, you're fulfilling a worldly desire, a fleshly desire, then it is going to sear your conscience in a way. Go ahead.
Let me just say real quick, I like history. I love history.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good. So I thought, okay, because I'm a realist, I know what's going on, but even in that, I better not watch stuff like that, because then it doesn't prepare me to be the light.
Right.
I got a little bit of my eyebrows are in this morning because of that movie. And I'm not afraid of anything, hardly, but why put the fear into you now? Why watch that? I'm just saying, I don't know. It's confusing because I really love history, so I have to watch it.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I completely understand what you're saying. But in other words, if you focus on the things of this world, that's where your feet will follow. But if you focus on the things of heaven, that's where your feet will follow. Because what you treasure, as in with your sight, there your heart will be also. And see, if you're focused on the things of this world, your eye or your conscience is not clear. I mean, even though it may not necessarily be a bad thing, but you know, Pastor Terry points out it was the tree of good and evil. You know what I'm saying? So I asked him, go ahead, Jim.
Somewhere in the Bible it says, don't be ignorant of the schemes of the devil.
Right.
And in today's world, we need to focus in a way on things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, we can't fight against it. So we have to know about the schemes of the devil in this, but we don't dwell on it, and we know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't. I mean, in a way, you have to.
You got to be aware of it. I'm not saying that you shut your eyes and plug your ears and say la 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 la, nothing evil's going on in the world. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, we can't dwell on it, because just dwelling about it and worrying about it is not going to change anything. Right here, where we was talking about Matthew 6:25-34, when he says, "Who of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? Who of you by worrying can add, you know, one day to your life?" Whatever. So we can't, just by dwelling on the things that are happening in the world, we can't change them. You know,
we have to work against that. I mean, there's things that in society has been, especially Christians, have been slack on doing, is the other side is working hard. They work hard on getting all these drag queens and working against our children and a lot of other things. And Christians have sat on their hands and not fought against us, you know, not gone to our representatives and say, "Hey, how can you pass this law making this okay?"
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't okay.
So in Ephesians 6, it says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darknesses in high places." So if our battle is not in the flesh or against fleshly things, then we can't battle it with the flesh or even with our fleshly mind. We must battle it with the Spirit. The Word says in Ephesians that the light exposes the deeds of those in the darkness. It drives out the darkness. So the way that we battle against darkness and evil is not going to be by just primarily focusing on it, but by being the light that God has put in us. That light will drive out the darkness. Yes.
When something like that pops into your head, something negative or something going on in the world, you can stop and you can pray about it. I think that would be a great way to deal with those things that are worrying or troubling you. Pray to it, bring it before God.
Amen. Yes, absolutely true. And so I was saying that, you know, our conscience would not be clear if we were focusing on the things of the world. And one of the things that I meant was, you know, focusing on mammon, focusing on money, right? And so I asked, why would our conscience not be clear? And it's because in verse 24, it says, you cannot serve both God and mammon, or God and wealth. So if you want to have bright character with a clear conscience, you need to focus on the Lord and all that is right. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Whatever you need, he will provide. Treasure him in right living, and the rest will work itself out. I'm going to skip over a little bit here because I want to get to some of these other things I think are more important. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Let's see, I got it. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4:16 over there. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 5:17. And then, let's see, what are we going to do next? And then 2 Corinthians 4:1, so I'll just start talking about it. It says, though the outer man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. And so I just wanted to bring out real quick that we don't talk about the inner man enough. You know, we don't hear a lot about the inner man. We do hear about us. We hear about God. But we don't hear about the inner man a lot. So there's a man living inside of us, right? An inner being. We need to talk about it. So it says, the inner man is being renewed day by day. See, we were made new creations in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old things are gone and the new things have come. And here's the cool thing. It's not just a one-time deal. We are made new again every single day. That's what it means to be renewed. I was thinking about the re part of that word, the re. And for some reason, I just thought about a woman. If she was going to reapply makeup, what's she going to do? She's going to put makeup on again, right? So when God, he's going to renew us, that re before that word new means to do it again. He's going to make us new again. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, praise God. Well, see, I don't know about makeup. I thought about it. I was like, that'll make sense to somebody, I'm sure. But anyways. That's good, though. You do have to take off the old before you put on the new. Otherwise, you're just like a pig that just got done washing in the mud, and you go right back to the mud. You know, you was still a pig from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not talking about a woman wearing makeup still, y'all. Look. All right. Praise God. Yeah. This was metaphorically speaking. This was not meant to be literal. I've never saw it, but I've heard the saying, so I know what it means. Do what? Yes, next verse. So that's what it means to be renewed. It's actually God's redemptive power at work making us new again. And this isn't talking about the outer man because he is perishing. So this is the inward man, which refers to what? It's the conscience of a man. If we look back at 2 Corinthians 4:1, and you can look there, you can write it down and go look at it later, but you can see that this whole excerpt that Paul is writing in 2 Corinthians 4, he's appealing to man's conscience. When he begins this, this excerpt here. And so, I hear mercy back there. And we know that God's mercy is at work cleaning the slate for us every day, giving us a clean conscience, because Lamentations 3:22 through 23 says that his mercies are new every morning. And that means every morning there's a new mercy for those new problems, so that your inward man can be free from any stains on his or her conscience. Free from the stain of sin and free to serve God. Listen, nothing unholy can even come into the presence of God. And we can never truly serve God if we never enter in into his actual presence. So we must have a clean conscience. Let's look at 1 John 3:21. That's Emmeline. So now they're both crying. Yeah.
You've got fresh mercy every day.
Every day. Mercy, joy, and Emmeline grace. So we get mercy and grace and joy every day. 1 John 3:21 says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." I'll say it again. "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God." So a clear conscience makes us bold in the face of God, so that we can come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16, or you could just look at my shirt and it says the same thing. But anyways, no, seriously. In Romans, it says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. It also talks about doing something. If your conscience condemns you, then it is sin. But if your conscience doesn't condemn you, then it's not sin. Unless it's biblically sin, but that's Romans 1:15, I think. Y'all can look that up. I may have kind of butchered how it's worded there. But so because 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do things that are pleasing in his sight." God is already pleased in whom we are if we are his sons. You know, Pastor Terry brings up a lot. When Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water, and God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." So if we are his sons, his weos, God is already pleased in whom we are. But for the sake of our conscience, it is good to do things that are pleasing in his sight. Because there are actions that we can perform or not perform that are pleasing to him. And our conscience will bear witness of these, either giving us boldness to stand before a holy and awesome God, or either causing us to cower away and hide our faces from his presence in shame. Jesus said in the Gospel of John 8:29, if you want to look there real quick, John 8:29, and if not, you can just listen. Jesus said, "He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." I don't believe Jesus was saying that he was being rewarded for his good behavior with God's presence, as though God's presence would come and go when he did good or did bad. But rather that he was always able to perceive God's presence because he always did what pleases the Father, and therefore his conscience was clear. In other words, the conscience is like a windshield of the vehicle. The vehicle he was driving would be this earthen vessel, which like us is our bodies. This windshield was clear and free from the stain or guilt of sin. Have you ever left the car wash and your windshield is sparkling clean? And it's like you can see everything so clearly, and especially like on these spring days, everything is green, the flowers are blooming, everything's beautiful. You can just notice it a lot more when your windshield is completely clean, right? And then you get going down the highway. And I know y'all have had this happen, because I've had it happen on more than one occasion. Windshield's clean, you're like, "Man, this looks so good. I can thank God." And then all of a sudden, a giant June bug comes in to ruin your day. Bam, he splats on the windshield, and you got guts and junk all over the windshield. I mean, this sucker was this big, and now your windshield is covered this big. You know what I'm saying? And all you can focus on the rest of the way home is how clean your windshield was. Man, my windshield was so clean. Now I got this stinking June bug all over my windshield. You know what I'm saying? I know y'all have had that happen. Raise your hand if you've ever had that happen, anybody. Okay, praise God. So I'm not the only one. It will ruin your day. I mean, it really does. So now this, all you can focus on is this mess that's in front of you. You can't enjoy the beautiful view around you anymore because you are distracted. You now realize just how clean and clear the vision was before in comparison. So the view around you never left. It didn't stop being beautiful around you. But your vision and your perception of things was distorted because of this huge bug that hit your windshield. Or let me put it this way. Because of the sin that's now on your conscience, you can't see or feel God. You can't perceive him even though he is present. He never stops being good. But with our conscience being mucky, we won't perceive his goodness, but it's there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us as orphans. God is always with us, but when we sin, and we still do, and we still will, when we sin, then our conscience is dirty. And if our conscience is like our windshield, the thing in which we view things through, if our conscience is dirty, then all of a sudden, I can't notice God when his goodness and his mercy is here. When his greatness and his awesome is here. When his holiness and righteousness is here. I can't see it. I can't perceive it even though it's still here. So I need my conscience to be cleared. I need my windshield to be wiped off. I need to pull over at the gas station and get one of those little things with the water, the squeegee, and I need to get to doing some wiping, right? You know what I'm saying? Did you have something?
Well, I was just going to say, it's more than I don't drink, smoke, chew, or go with those who do. It's more than that. It's the more you fall in love with him, mm-hmm. the more you feel the Holy Spirit's conviction, and it's yeah. because you love him, and you're going, oh. You know, it's not because you're a bad little girl or boy. It's just you love him.
Yeah.
And you don't want to displease him.
Amen.
So, yeah.
And sometimes it's about hanging out with people who love him, what you think, more than you do.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, minding my own business, watching my little TV show. My husband comes in and says, you're watching that? That's trash. And suddenly, I couldn't enjoy what I had been enjoying before.
Messed her conscience up, though.
What we tell teenagers that you become who you hang out with. And so we get to choose who we're going to hang out with. And we choose to hang out with people who are sharpening us and leading us, pricking our conscience when we may not be able to prick our own. Or not listening to the Lord pricking our conscience.
Amen. So what's the difference between our conscience and the Holy Spirit? Or are they the same thing? And I want to give you guys a minute just if anybody has an answer. What's the difference between the Holy Spirit and our conscience? Or are they the same thing?
I'm sitting here the whole time you've been teaching. I'm thinking about Romans 8:5. Mm-hmm. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
So one morning I woke up and this was a scripture that the Lord gave me, and I thought to myself, okay, you know, am I going to mind the things of God today, or am I going to mind the things of the flesh today?
Amen.
You know, so that messes with your conscience as well.
Yeah, it definitely does.
You have two mindsets and you choose.
Yep. And so I was actually thinking about that this morning also, too, that there is a difference between the Holy Spirit, the conscience, and the flesh. So you could add the flesh in there. I didn't put any notes down about it or anything, but that is true, so I'm glad you brought that up. The first two things that come to mind for me is this, though, when answering that question. First, that the Holy Spirit is only for those who are born again. But God gives every human being ever born a conscience. We are all born with a conscience and a sense of right or wrong. Secondly, you can actually change or water down, suppress your conscience. You cannot ever change the Holy Spirit. He is God and part of the Holy Trinity. He is ever the same. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's God. So we won't ever change the Holy Spirit, but we can change our conscience or change how it affects us anyways. Let's look at Romans 1:18 through 21. And I'm going to grab my Bible real quick. Romans 1:18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrightness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So in the Greek, this word in verse 21, when it says their heart, the heart here literally means conscience. So he says that their foolish conscience was darkened. You can darken your conscience. And so how did they do this? Because they suppress their conscience is darkened. It is choked out by the way they live because they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's what it says in verse 18. They suppress the truth in righteousness. They leave the natural function of the body and burn. I'm just going on to say what it says here, and you can read it for yourself later. Verses 22, basically through the rest of this chapter, through 32. It says that they leave the natural function of the body and burn with lust for one another. They profess to be wise as if they know better than God, or as if their conscience is not trying to lead them in the right direction. They become fools by being disobedient to the ordinance of God. They sear their conscience as with a branding iron, as 1 Timothy 4:1 says, and they serve and worship the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I wanted to touch on this for just 1 second, how it talks about they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And they started going after men, women after women. And it's talking about homosexuality, right? And but that's not the only thing that we can suppress our conscience with. That's not the only sin. Me, when I was younger, I suppressed my conscience because even though I was not godly, I had a conscience that would tell me that this is right or this is wrong. And so I knew I was doing wrong when I sought to go do drugs and get high. You know what I'm saying? Or to go fornicate or whatever. I knew it was wrong. But I did it anyways, and I suppressed the truth of God that was already inside me, because over here in Romans chapter 2, it talks about the Gentiles having a law within themselves. So inside themselves, they had a law. It was their conscience that God had put in them that was bearing witness that this is right or this is wrong. But if you choose to go against the grain and you do what is wrong, even when you know that this is wrong, then you become calloused in your heart. You become hardened in your heart. A lot of guys who will come to work for me, like if they're new or they haven't been doing construction for a long time, the first thing they want to know is, where's the gloves at? They want some gloves to put on their hand. I'm about to show you where I'm going with this, Lynn, because I know you're like, what does that have to do with anything? So my hands, because they are very calloused, I've been doing this for a long time. They're very calloused. It don't bother me to be picking up boards, digging in the dirt, or, you know, whatever. It don't bother my hands at all. But for people who don't have any calluses, it bothers them. I'm just telling you the truth. It bothers you. If you go digging with a shovel and you've never dug with a shovel before, about 2 hours into it, you're going to have some blisters on there. It's going to be hurting. And you're going to wonder, what in the world did I get myself into? And it's the same thing with our conscience. So you can harden your conscience towards the things of God if you are constantly suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And this means by the way you're living. If you decide that I'm going to live unrightly, and you continually do this again and again and again, then it makes your heart harden. Your conscience will be seared as with a branding iron. And you will not be able to feel your conscience when it's pricking you and telling you that this is right or wrong. Or you may still feel it just faintly, but it's enough to where you can say, ah, shut up, I'm not going to listen to that. It don't bother me anymore. I've heard it enough, it don't bother me anymore. I can continue in my sin and there's no problem with it. And so we talked about earlier how a clear conscience gives us boldness before God. But it also gives us boldness before other people also. 2 Corinthians 1:12, if you guys want to look at that real quick. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, he says, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you." Paul said that because of his conduct in the world and especially toward those whom he was discipling, he had proud confidence because he knew that he had acted rightly, displaying the grace of God through holiness and sincerity. And so even if someone were to speak badly about him, his conscience would testify to himself that he was righteous and that he was holy. Again, knowing that he was made righteous through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's how we're made right with God. That's how we are, 2 Corinthians 5:21, we're considered the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's not our works. It's not our behavior that makes us right before God. That's not what does it. Our works and our acting right is what causes us to have a clear conscience. And see, we need this clear conscience so that when we go before God, I'm not standing in front of God saying, with the devil able to condemn me, because he's saying, you remember what you did last week when you spoke harshly to your wife, and now you're going to come to God and you're going to ask for this serious matter and you think God's going to listen to you? Come on, man, you just got done sinning. You think he's going to listen to you? See, the devil then can use my conscience against me because my conscience is bearing witness of the evil or the unrighteousness that I did. But if I'm conscious of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, his forgiveness for me is at the forefront of my thoughts, then when I come before God, I can come boldly to obtain mercy. I'm not coming ashamed I'm not coming cowering. I may come in fear, but that's a fear as in reverence, as in respect to a holy and awesome God. But I know that when I'm in the presence of this holy and awesome God, I have been made holy and I have been made awesome. And he sees me as the end product, the glorified me. Just as he sees all of us who are born again, he sees the end product. But we need to have our conscience clear so that we can also see ourselves in the same way that he sees us. We've been watching this. My wife loves this show, and our kids love this show, VeggieTales. And they have this little show on there, and this little, they call it a doodle. But anyways, this thing, they put pictures into his backpack, right? And it's these other doodles, and they were being mean to him. And they said, "You're ugly. You're no good at art. You'll never be able to fly. You're no good at anything." And so they put all these pictures in his backpack, and it weighs it down. Right? And it can't fly. It can't lift up off the ground. It's got wings. All of them have wings. They're supposed to be able to fly. This thing can't fly. And eventually it gets toward the end and it's in front of this, they say it's a giant doodle. And anyways, it's representing God. And the doodle comes in and he says, he's like, "Where you been at? You know, like, what are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, I've been trying to fly, but I can't fly because I'm weighed down. I have all these pictures on my back. You know, I'm ugly, I'm no good at art, I'll never be able to fly, I have all these things weighing me down." And the big doodle says, "Who told you that? Where did you get these things from? You allow everybody else to paint these pictures of you." He said, "But what you really need is a picture from me." And so he takes all the pictures out of his bag, off of his back, and he throws them into the fire. And then he paints a picture, and he says, "See, I see you beautiful." He shows a picture of him. He's flying. He's glorified. "I see you beautiful. I see you as smart. I see you as flying." You know, all these things. And then suddenly the doodle began to float up off the, that's what he's called, a doodle. So anyways, he begins to float up off the ground, and he said he suddenly felt lighter. Right? He felt lighter. And then he goes out and he goes, he's flying around and he's cut flips. He's never been able to fly before. And then he goes and tells all the other doodles what just happened to him. And then they all start flying too. I hope that's painting a picture for y'all, because that's beautiful. That's what God wants to do with us and with our conscience. He wants us to be able to have a clear conscience. He wants to take off all these things that have been painted on us that other people say about us. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. What the devil tries to say to you, you sinned last week. You was harsh. You talked this way to somebody. You know that you can't come before a holy God. And God says, "Hold on a second. I've got a better picture that I want to paint for you. I want you to see you how I see you in the end product." And when you see yourself the way God sees you, when you have a clear conscience, you are able to come boldly. And you can say, "God, I have a request I need of you, and I'm going to ask you, and I know that you will do whatever I ask of you, because I've kept your commandments. I've loved you. I'm your son. I'm your child." And when you do that, you'll see it. You ask, and you believe, and you receive. But you can't ask if you don't believe that he's going to do it, and that he's good, and that he loves you, and that you're not stained with the guilt of shame or sin. So I just want to appeal to your consciences today, as Paul did, and just say, trust God for his forgiveness, and start to see yourself the way that God sees you. And whenever you ask something from God, know that he's going to do it because he loves you. He is full of grace. He is full of mercy. And he is full of truth. And with that, we'll just end with a prayer. Father God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this word, God. I pray, Lord, that you would breathe on this word, God, and cause it to come alive inside of our spirits, inside of our conscience, God, and cause us to walk freely and lighthearted, God, floating around like this little doodle, God, with no weight, no encumbrances on us, God, but just with the way that you picture us, your forgiveness at the forefront of our thoughts, God. Lord, we thank you. We know that you are holy. You are magnificent. We pray for the worship service today. We pray for the word that's going to be spoken later today, God, that your anointing would just be present, God, and that you would just fill this house with your manifest presence. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.